Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Claire Venice.
We've made it to February.
And we're spreading a little sunshine in the
Peapod. Thank you for joining us in this week's Peapod. For the month of February, we're going to shine some positivity into the Peapod and bring you interviews with people in our area who are making a positive change or helping others.
This week, it's the turn of the Generation Green team. Young reporters Meg Allen and Sasha Fairweather with the environmental issues they care about and how we can all do our bit to help.
Artist Jan Wellsman finds inspiration during the pandemic, and Rosie Packham-Boynes hopes to bring some sunshine to the Petersphere.
After last week's fun in the snow, Geoff and John get back to business discussing the latest local news, and Susie braves the mud and steep slopes on her wild walk near the Poet Stone.
We round off the show with music from Alton-based band Simpleton Tunesmith and their song Just a Question. It's all here in this week's Peapod.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone is welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire, how are you?
Hi, Geoff. I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Another 7 days has passed since we last spoke.
I know, and we're in February now, which I feel, although it's still grey and miserable outside, I do feel like winter's, you know, there is an end in sight. And hopefully, along with that, and spring comes the end of this lockdown.
Yeah, only 8 weeks now until the clocks change. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
Oh, is it really?
It is, yes.
Brilliant. A bit later on the show, we've got Rosie from Salon 16, who's talking about her new sunshine campaign, which I think is brilliant. It's a brilliant idea for a campaign. And it's also such a nice thing to do this time of year, to spread a bit of sunshine when it's so grey and miserable. So well done, Rosie. We're going to be making our sunshines probably this week, I'd have thought, to put in our windows.
Ah, well, I'm a ray of sunshine at all times, so I probably don't need to do that.
Do you know what it's funny? Because not sure what to say to that, Geoff. You are.
I think there'll be a lot of people disagreeing with that.
Just got to paint your face yellow. Or wear a yellow sunshine mask. You could do that.
But it's bright red most of the time.
But talking of masks, I believe you have a story to tell, do you not?
Well, about masks, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to do a blanket apology to a number of people over the last 7 days who've said hello, and because I can only see their eyes, I actually don't know who they are, and I feel really bad. And they said hello, and I've said hello back, and I've walked off thinking, I haven't got a clue who they were. And also to the two people who drove past me and waved, and I waved heartily back, thinking, not a clue, not a clue. So, yes. So, Claire, do you find it difficult?
You know what? No, I haven't. But then, having said that, I haven't been out.
It was just me then.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'm just wondering, do you need an eye test, Geoff?
No. What are you trying to say? I'm young and healthy.
Yeah. But you, how many people is that you've missed from waving at you recently? Were they complete incognito? Did they have a hat on and, you know, different clothes?
I just haven't got a clue. I think it's because I haven't seen a lot of people over the last year or so, you know, and you tend to forget as we're getting a bit older. The memory cells are going.
You're forgetting your friends.
I put it down to onset dementia rather than needing an eye test.
Maybe it might be nice just to pop into, you know, get your eyes tested just to make sure.
So, Claire, I just want to, we don't do this very often, do a little shout out. Now, we put our clips on Facebook, the programme's on Facebook and Twitter, and there is one listener who always likes our Facebook posts, and that is Jill Power, and she's been doing that since the first show. So just want to say thank you very much, Jill, for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks so much, Jill. And if more people would like a shout-out, let us know. We'd love to do that, wouldn't we?
We can do it in our proper Tony Blackburn voices, if you like.
Maybe the people who waved at you, Geoff, could let us know who they were. Yeah. We could shout out to them.
I can do a personal apology.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover or would just like to say hi, please get in touch. We're on 01730 555 500 or email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
Coming up, Meg Allen and Sasha Fairweather from Generation Green and a twilight walk for Susie. But first, John Walker has the latest news from Petersfield and the surrounding villages.
It's a cold and brisk Sunday. I'm out for a walk. And once again, I've bumped into John Walker from the Petersfield Post. John, how are you?
Very well, mate. If we carry on like this, people think this is arranged. Here it is, another Sunday, and look who I've bumped into.
So, John, how's your week been?
It's been a bit up and down, to be honest. A friend of mine passed away in the week. I know we're going to chat about him later, Don Eads. But yeah, it's been okay. The weather's been a bit rough and ropey, but there we are. It's winter. What do you expect?
Now, John, I want to just start with something that was in the Petersfield Post last week. In the Go Back in History section, there was a photo of a policeman with a dog. And you asked, did anyone know who the policeman was? Well, I can tell you this week who it was. It was Sergeant Jameson, OK? And his daughter became the mayoress of Petersfield, Teresa Jameson.
And Ricky the dog went on to lead the council. it just goes to show, doesn't it, what a lovely place Petersfield is, where there's that continuity of father and daughter serving the town. It's fantastic. Oh, and the dog, Ricky, the police dog. I knew him well, but we won't go there, Geoff, just now.
So, John, what is going to be in the Petersfield Post this week?
Well, it's going to be, unfortunately, it's not been a good week. Quite a few people have passed away through one reason or another. Michael Miller, who I went to school with, Miller's funeral directors, had been suffering from cancer for years, and it finally got him, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. He was a nice guy. He really was a nice guy. And it's just a shame that someone like him has to get something like that and die that way. He's got a family, so it won't be a very pleasant time for them. And then, of course, Don Eads, who was a photographer in the town, worked for the Petersfield Post for quite a few years. In fact, I'd say that's probably his main source of income, from Berriton, died. And he was a great man, helped me a lot when I started on my career. He was an ex-paratrooper, so you can imagine that some of the stories back in the day were 6'2" and an ex-paratrooper with a camera is a good man to have beside you when you're chatting to him. But he was a kind, funny man, funny as in witty, and he leaves the local family still in Petersfield, and it's just a great shame that he's died. On the plus side, if there can be one, he left more than 1,000 of his pictures to the Petersfield Museum, and he's recorded history in Petersfield since about 1967, something like that, or the mid-1960s, right the way up until 1989. He was at every event, plus taking pictures for the Post and the News as well. So these 100,000 pictures that he's left to the Petersfield Museum must be, I would imagine, one of the best records of town life, probably in the country, I don't know. But I suspect it's up there with them, and hopefully the museum will at some time put an exhibition together of the best ones.
And moving on, John, anything else that's going to be in the paper?
Yeah, unfortunately, the council tax thing rumbles on. We had EHDC putting theirs up last week. The town council has now announced it's putting theirs up. The police are putting theirs up. It looks like Hampshire County Council are going to put theirs up. I think we probably all saw it coming one way or another, for one reason or another. Can't imagine what that reason would be. But no, it's all compounding into making 2021 a tricky one to get underway, I think. Going to be what it's going to be, I'm afraid, I think. And everybody's resigned to the fact that, as damaging to families and people this coronavirus thing has been, and as miserable as the lockdowns have been, a lot of money has been spent on it. And now we're starting to see repayment time, I'm afraid.
It seems different to lockdown one. I know the weather was nice in April, May, June last year, but it's the start of the year. We're in lockdown again, and at this time it just seems never-ending.
Yeah, this is exactly right. And the vaccination thing, which is a great programme, I mean, I'm not knocking that at all in any way, shape or form, started out as, we'll all have you done by Easter. And now they're talking September, autumn, before it gets down to the young, fit people like you and me, Geoff.
We should be one of the last, because look at us, fine, healthy specimen of men.
Yes, exactly right, officer. Oh, my back. and now they're saying there's talk of social distancing being kept in place till this time next year. It's being discussed. There's no decision made yet. But clearly, you know, it's something that isn't going to go away in a hurry. It's affected people. My son is having problems with it because he hasn't been able to go to school. He's stuck at home. He's lost his motivation to do anything. Fortunately, the school's recognised that and have invited him to come back into school because they see the need for him to be socialising with people. And I suspect this is going on in tens of thousands of households across the country. I know it is down in Portsmouth. I know people who are teachers and say the same thing. It's now key workers and vulnerable children that they're inviting back to school. And, yeah, we're not going to see an end to this thing soon. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, it's all got to be paid for. And it's going to be us.
So anything lighthearted that's going to be in this week?
Anyway, moving on. Yes, there is. There's going to be some lighthearted stuff. There'll be some nice wildlife pictures. There's looking at a spread from the Winton Players coming up fairly soon. They've all been taking a hammer in the amateur dramatic groups. As you know, Geoff, you are a thespian.
Right.
And you look lovely in that widow twanky outfit. No wonder we have to do this where no one can see us. So that'll be in there. They're trying to raise their profile. There's the winners of the South Downs National Park annual photographic competition, of which two of the pictures come from round here. It's there is going to be some happy stuff in there. You're just going to have to look hard to find it. Page 27, three paragraphs, I think you'll find.
I think that's a great place to leave it, John. Lovely to see you again. Have a lovely week, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, I'll be good. Let's keep meeting in the churchyard, two young men. I don't think we should go any further than that.
You're right. Cheers, John.
Bye, mate. Cheerio.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Pea Pod.
The Petersfield Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain!
A new audio series from Shine Radio started in October last year called Generation Green. Hosted by the station's youngest reporters, Meg Allen and Sasha Fairweather, Generation Green brings environmental issues to the foreground.
So far, Generation Green have discussed topics such as fast fashion and plastics and interviewed activist Tamara Gray and councillor Russell Oppenheimer. There's more to come, as Claire found out when she spoke to Meg and Sasha.
Hi, Meg and Sasha. Thanks so much for joining me in the Pea Pod.
Of course. Oh, hello.
It's great to talk to you because you have recently started a new programme on Shine Radio called Generation Green. Can you tell us a bit about that then, please? Meg, let's start with you.
Yeah, so we started Generation Green, I think it was about November time, and we just thought, let's give people a perspective that they maybe haven't heard before. So yes, people maybe know about the environment, and yes, maybe they know some of the issues, but what we wanted to do was give a really base level intro to almost every topic that we can think of, come up with, talk about, to then build their knowledge and then say what specifically they can do within the Petersphere and how the Petersphere is doing stuff really well and what they can pick out of that. I think that's kind of where it started.
Our main plan was that we wanted to make it suitable for anyone who was listening to it. So a couple of the terms that we use are a bit more specific, but we want to make sure that everyone has an understanding of it so that it's more user-friendly and easier to understand, basically.
It's a big topic, isn't it? I mean, when you mention environmental issues, so many things come into your head.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. But it's interesting that you're tackling the topic, but also then making it relevant to where we live. Was that something you specifically wanted to do then, Sasha?
Yeah, I think it's important, particularly being where we are. We're lucky to be in quite a green area. We say this a lot, with some good access to nature and what we can do in the Petersphere. It's a lot easier than in some places to live sustainably and treat the environment a little bit better. So I think it's a good idea to sort of make people aware of the great opportunities we do have in the Petersphere to look after the environment.
Do you feel there's a lot of emphasis on your generation to take ownership of environmental issues and do something about it? I mean, you've both grown up with this being such a relevant and talked about topic, I'd have thought, throughout your entire lives.
Yeah, I would say that that's true. I don't think there's a pressure so much as we've taken it on ourselves. So we've said, okay, we've had enough now, and we've kind of taken it into our own hands as much as we can to say, okay, right, we're going to step it up. We've drawn the line, and now we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to go out on our own, strike out on our own, and try to make the difference, because clearly the people in power are not doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think we've seen a lot in the past couple of years, obviously before pandemic times, and the massive amounts of climate strikes all across the world, predominantly led by young people. So I think it is an issue that us as a generation feel massively strongly about, I think probably because of the situation that we found ourselves in. So yeah, I think a lot of people feel, our generation feel very strongly about it, definitely.
I think we're in a really unique position as well with, obviously everyone talks about this, but social media and being able to share information is something that was never quite the same, because we're not controlled by any media source. You know, it's not channeling through anything. It's just raw. This is what I think, or this is what's happening in my specific area. And then that can be shared all around the world with everyone, and anyone can join in that conversation. And therefore, things like Indigenous communities are now being more and more brought into British conversations of environmentalism, which is great. So I think social media has been a huge part of it as well.
Yeah, it feels a lot more inclusive now. But then on the flip side, it also brings with it a difficulty of finding the right information online, because there are a lot of opinion polls and facts and figures not specifically founded in science. So it's quite difficult to find the important areas to focus on. And I think what we're trying to do, make it a little bit easier to understand.
I've listened to your most recent programme with the local councillor, Russell Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
I was really struck when you were talking to him, and he was very open about how East Hampshire is trying to tackle the issues of waste, particularly in our area, but also how unclear it still is of what we need to put in our recycling bins. I mean, I still don't know. And I was so pleased when I heard you asking him, what can you do about it? It's unclear. And he did stop and said, well, actually, I'm going to make a note of that now, because I think we do need to.
We were very proud of that.
Yes, I was going to say, well done. Did you know each other before you joined Shine Radio?
No, not before Shine. So we had a few mutual friends, but no, we'd never met.
So you both came together to say, let's make this programme and let's see what we can do and build on it. So already you're making a difference. And that was your fourth audio show that you've done. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
For each of you, what is the big environmental issue that's most important to you individually that you'd like to see a change, or you'd like to spearhead and try and push and find someone to talk to about?
The issue that I feel the most strongly about is the world of fast fashion, which we actually have done an episode about already. It was our first episode, so you can tell we didn't know each other as well back then, and it's probably not our most polished episode, but the thought was there. And I feel really strongly about it because we've got so many brands, specifically online ones, quick, cheap brands who don't pay their workers properly, and still in this day and age we've got a lot of not only terrible treatment of workers going on, but badly made clothes from completely unsustainable areas, and who are doing huge Black Friday sales where you're buying clothes for 2p or something like that. And you can just tell that people are not very aware of where everything's come from, and it's not made particularly clear. And clothing is such, and fashion in general, is such a huge industry and a really important one that we need to talk about, because people have got more disposable income now, so more and more money is being spent on fashion. So we need to make sure that it's coming from the right places.
Within the episode, we talk a lot about why repeating outfits doesn't matter, and why you should be wearing the same outfit, and why the continuation of the earth matters more than you wearing the same dress twice. And I think, we talk a lot about that, and we talk a lot about like the stats and how there's enough clothes on the earth right now to clothe six generations, which is just crazy. And we talk a lot about like these overwhelming statistics that can feel like a lot, but then in all our episodes we managed to bring it back and say, okay, but now this is what you can do. And I think that's kind of the nice part about it. We don't just give you this terrible onload of information and not say how to fix it. So I think that's a good thing.
And then again, the petosphere comes into that, because we spoke about this in the episode, but we are blessed with tons and tons of charity shops and more sustainable ways of buying new clothes. And obviously a lot of places don't have that, but we're really lucky in Petersfield that we do, which is really great.
That's important to say, isn't it? Because as we mentioned earlier, it's such a big subject to try and tackle and for people to get their heads around. And so then to not only highlight the issue, but then also to bring it back to how each individual can make a difference. So for you, Meg, what environmental issue is most important to you, would you say?
I find this question so hard. There's so many things out there, and not only that, but they all interlink with each other. So my biggest issue might be, for example, plastic, and fast fashion comes under that, but it also comes under environmental human rights and all this kind of stuff. And it's all interconnected. But I would say, just as one thing on its own, would be access to nature. It's about low-income families or urban areas having access to nature that's not closed off or it's not their own, it's just a park. And it's about them having their own space, being able to learn about this kind of stuff, being able to claim back their roots to nature and that kind of thing. And that also comes under the umbrella of people of colour and environmentalism as well. And that's a whole other bag of chips, if you will. It's quite hard to sum everything up, but I think access to nature in general is a huge one, because it's something that people like to stray away from or not think about, because it's like, well, I have my garden. Yeah, and it's true that in the UK it's something like 70-80% of families do have a garden, which is great, but it's those families in council homes and that kind of thing that need the access to nature to improve mental health, and that would help mental health services. Obviously it helps create connections, it helps all kinds of things, and I just think it's really, really important.
So if there is one person in particular you would like to interview with regards to your Generation Green programme, who would it be?
We have an interview coming up with a lady from the Petersfield Climate Action Network, or PCAN. I'm really interested in the ethics of climate marches, and there's been a lot of discussion about that in the past few weeks. I actually took part in a conference at my school last October before coronavirus hit, and we had Jack Harry from Extinction Rebellion, and he was amazing, and it was so interesting to hear his story, because he spoke about how he was arrested for a protest which took place in London. I think it would be really interesting to have another person like that who's been to climate strike and who's part of an organisation like Extinction Rebellion. I'd love to hear something like that. Hopefully we can do that once strikes start up again.
Thanks, Sasha. How about you, Meg?
I think mine are a bit more unrealistic. I would really love to interview Boris Johnson and the head of Greenpeace and just to find out what they're doing, what's going on. And another person that I would want to interview is Bill Gates, because he's just come out with a book about climate action and how to save the planet. So I'd be really interested to read that book and then interview him about it. So that's a few unrealistic ones for me.
You never know, you never know.
Full-on dream for me is David Attenborough, but that's another unrealistic one. But we did speak of him with Tamara Gray a little bit, and his newest film, a newest project, and sort of the positives and the negatives of that. I think it'll be interesting to talk to him about that.
Well, it's been wonderful to talk to you both and to find out more about you and Generation Green. I really look forward to hearing your upcoming programmes as we go along through the year. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
Susie heads to Island Farm Road by the Poet Stone at twilight and, in spite of the mud and skippy slopes, finds inspiration.
I hope you can hear the sound of running water. Rain and I have parked on Island Farm Road, right at the bottom. We haven't been here for ages and we're by the splash, but I didn't want to stand too close in case you were deafened. It's pretty silent apart from the sound of the falls. Rain's just truffling through some leaves. But you might hear the odd shriek from time to time, because I have to tell you, I knew it would be muddy, but I had no idea of the extent of it, or that I would stupidly try and come down the slope from sort of halfway along. I didn't go right up to Poet Stone. I was sort of halfway. But even that was rugged. For a lot of the time, because I decided to keep to the right-hand side of the slope, so at least I wasn't doing what some girls were doing, which is just basically sliding down there on their bottoms. Not for me. I'm rather too old for that. It's otherwise a really lovely walk, because it's a blue sky. Twilight comes early here, as you all know, because it ducks down beneath the trees. And Rain has loved it because, of course, being a dog, she can show off having claws, which are like crampons. So she can basically play with other dogs and with sticks and chase squirrels and have a wonderful time while I'm squealing alongside. But anyway, I'm going to leave here now. I'll just give you another sound and then I'm going to continue at home because I read something today about a barn owl that I thought was spectacular, and I do absolutely love barn owls. So I'm probably going to not continue here. I'll read it to you when I get home because it's now twilight. I just caught sight of one gliding through the trees, but it really was only a glimpse, so I couldn't wax lyrical myself. Okay, good girl. You can probably hear I'm back at home now, and I've got The Guardian from last Saturday in front of me, and it's Country Diary from Thixendale, North Yorkshire, and this is just the end of it. A final conjuring trick presents first as a thickening of light between my eyes and the sun. The witchery of barn owl flight, aside from its silence, is that it doesn't look like flying at all. It is more like the rise and flutter of ash from a bonfire, or the swoop of a distant skier. The bird surfs invisible slopes of air, as though gravity can't quite get a grip on it. And I think I thought about that for two reasons I've now realised, now that I've read it, is that not only was there the barn owl, but there was something about the quality of silence where I had stopped to record the first bit at the bottom of by the Poet's Stone that reminded me of skiing. Exactly that, that there was just this kind of hush and yet tension and just distant cries from much higher above from people that you can't see. And it was rather lovely. And that very, very blue sky, I suppose. Well, have a good week.
Thanks, Susie. Susie also co-hosts the Talking Books podcast with Tim O'Kelly from One Tree Books, available to listen to at shineradio.uk.
Laura Shepherd presents The Ticket on Shine Radio, a programme which celebrates the arts across the Petersphere.
In her recent episode, Laura spoke to artist Jan Wellsman about the local art scene and how she has managed to keep her creativity going during the pandemic.
I'm joined today by Jan Wellsman, a member of Petersfield Arts and Crafts Society. I asked her how she first got involved.
When I was in Guildford, we planned to move here. I started to investigate what was here because this was going to be important for me. And I spotted that there was a Petersfield Art and Craft Society, so I was so excited. So I asked to join and I had to wait till I actually got here. They have a website as well, and they do have a gallery, they've done exhibitions, they do workshops and give advice, and generally support the artists in Petersfield, and that is absolutely brilliant. That's so much what I needed and wanted when I moved here. And it's amazing how many artists live here too.
It really is a thriving creative community here in the Petersfield area, isn't it? Do you specialise in a particular medium or do you have a preference?
I would say I've changed a bit over time. One area I do is pet portraits, and that I use pastel. I find that is a lovely medium because it's soft, you get the fur, you can do the detail of, you know, every little hair if you really, really want to, or just give the impression of it. And I love doing the eyes and the noses, particularly of dogs and cats. So that is one area. I've also done some holiday images of in pastel. When I've been on holiday, I'll do the landscapes and that sort of thing. But my preferred is the detail of a portrait with that. But now I'm more of an acrylic artist for landscapes or fantasy or anything like that.
So how do you go about selling your work?
I'm not a really, really very good at this, but I've been so lucky because I do have my own Facebook page, and I joined the Petersfield Art and Crafts Facebook page, which means you can actually put your pictures on that. And I've been spotted by a couple of local shops in Petersfield who have their own galleries, which is a cafe and another place, and they asked if I would exhibit in their shops, which is absolutely fantastic. So I've been able to exhibit there. And in the past, before lockdown and all of this, I was doing fetes and fairs and for charities or just in the town. So that's the way I do it. But so I have actually been spotted by people on my Facebook page, and they've asked if they could purchase that way. So there are better ways, though. Probably developing my own web page is a thing that I intend to do.
What effect has lockdown had on your inspiration and your creativity?
Even though it's been a bad thing, it's been absolutely brilliant in some ways, because I needed something to do more. And the countryside around Petersfield is lovely. Go for walks, take photographs. Oh, amazing. And also I go and watch more YouTube videos and things like that. So I've found that being locked down, you have to think of something else to do. You've got to, otherwise you go mad. And so I found it's given me an excuse to really concentrate on my artwork. So I haven't actually been inspired by lockdown, but lockdown has enabled me to concentrate more. I found YouTube's been brilliant and a good excuse to watch these things. Bob Ross, oh bless him, I watched his videos a long time before he came back on telly again, and I found he was a great inspiration about how to be freer with your painting and not fiddle around, which I'm inclined to do if I'm not careful. And I started to do acrylic pouring, which is a way of mixing your paints and pouring them onto your paper and then manipulating it. And all these things have helped a lot. So I do recommend to people, if they want inspiration, look on YouTube. It's amazing what you find.
I have to say that acrylic pouring sounds very messy, is it?
We were fortunate enough to be able to move to Petersfield to a three-bedroom house. Before, we lived in a two-bedroom and I painted in the kitchen, which was dodgy. But now I have my own room. It's the guest room. And I have a table. I use a planting bowl. And I've got kitchen racks I put in the bottom of it. And yes, it can be messy, so things are covered. But pouring, I try really hard not to spill anything, and you get it all over your hands and everything everywhere, but the floor is protected. So if you can find an environment in your house you can protect with sheeting on the floor, puppy, what they call them, sheets that you can put on your table, and a big bowl and racks and things like that, then you should be all right.
And what's next for you on the horizon artistically, Jan?
Okay, 2021, I've seen the need for me to actually get my own website. So I think that is probably the first priority. Although I think tidying up my art room might be a good idea. Get rid of some of the old paintings that really haven't worked, or reuse the canvases and start some new things. And then the hope is that COVID will ease off a bit, or if things are a bit better with the vaccine. And then I want to start looking for how to exhibit again, what markets are going on, what fairs are going on, and that I can join in those. And I'm hoping that more groups will start up again, face-to-face groups, although, you know, it's been great we can do Zoom and things like that, but actually go to classes and groups again, face-to-face. It'd be wonderful to do that. Oh, and I mean, you shouldn't be complacent. I think you should always look to learn more skills, get more tips from other people, look on YouTube, on Facebook, anything like that, to get inspiration and freshen yourself up.
Great advice. Jan, thank you so much for joining me.
To hear the entire programme, go to shineradio.uk and select The Ticket.
If you'd like to join our volunteer team, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on 01730 555 500 or send an email to pod@thepeapod.uk.
Coming up, Rosie Packham Boyne's is all about the sunshine. But first, here's a few suggestions of things going on in our area.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
It's the Hampshire's Farmers Market this coming Sunday, 7th of February, from 10 till 2 in the square. Wrap up warm as the weather is looking chilly.
Butser Ancient Farm is holding an online embolic celebration with storyteller Jonathan Hewitt on Saturday the 6th of February from 2pm. This ancient Celtic storytelling event will take place live over Zoom and costs £8 per family. For more details on how to book, go to butseranciencfarm.co.uk.
If, like me, you enjoy running, then this might be for you. A fundraiser has been set up to recognise the NHS staff at the Peterswood Community Hospital and their hard work over the last year. A community of runners will walk, run, wheel or cycle 1,000 kilometres in 1 week, starting February the 8th and finishing on February the 14th. All running will need to be done individually and the distance logged on the group's Facebook page. For more information, go to the Peterswood Running Group Facebook page, and there's a Just Giving page if you'd rather donate instead of running.
The South Downs Dark Skies Festival takes place from the 12th to the 28th of February. This year, the festival is all about the personal experience of the night skies where you live, learning about the constellations, the history and the folklore that goes with them, and the nocturnal wildlife that depends on them. For more information, go to southdowns.gov.uk.
Should you need it, the Petersfield Town Council are manning the local lockdown helpline on 01730 779 296, and a further lockdown helpline leaflet will be going out to every Petersfield household soon.
And there's always your local radio station, Shine Radio, to listen to. You can choose from a wide variety of audio shows, which are available to listen to on demand, or tune in to the brighter mix of music, local news and weather. That's shineradio.uk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
This Valentine's Day, we're inviting you to send a message to that special someone in your life using the power of radio. And while you're at it, why not dedicate a song to them?
Call Petersfield 555 500 and leave your message, or email it to team@petersfieldradio.uk for one of our presenters to read.
Spread the love this Valentine's Day with Shine Radio's Love Letters.
As it's February, there's not a lot of sun to be seen. But fear not, Rosie Packham Boyne's, owner of Petersfield Salon 16, has come up with a way to bring more sunshine to the Petersphere. Hi, Rosie. Now, you've recently started a campaign in the Petersfield area to spread a little sunshine around, and that's quite a challenge for January and February. Can you tell us more about it, please?
Yeah, well, I think in these dreary months, we could all do with a bit of sunshine. This lockdown's so much tougher with the weather than what the last large lockdown was in the spring last year. And I just feel, I mean, I've got two children, so they're busy being homeschooled. They're actually at TPS Secondary School, and I've just been blown away with how amazing the teachers have been with their live lessons and keeping in touch with the kids. I've been amazed really how my two have coped, and I've got many clients that are teachers and support helpers and parents homeschooling, and I just think all these people just need a bit of recognition and a bit of encouragement on how amazing they're doing during these tough times, and just spreading a bit of sunshine in these dull months is perfect, really.
It's a really lovely idea, because you're right, this lockdown feels a lot harder. What is the actual plan behind spreading the sunshine? How do you propose we all take part in this?
So what I would love, I just think it would be amazing to just get as many sunshines in windows as possible around Petersfield Town and surrounding areas. And I don't want to copycat the rainbow for the NHS, but I just think it would be such a lovely idea to recognise the teachers and the support workers and the homeschoolers, the pupils, the students, the nursery kids. It would just be a perfect way to acknowledge them.
And is this a campaign that you'd like to see continue through this lockdown? Could it be something that you'd like to see rolled out throughout the month?
Oh, yeah, I think it would be amazing. When kids have got free time, just draw a sunshine, put it up on all the windows. It would really give some encouragement for all those people that are trying so hard, and that extra support to just make everybody appreciate what they're doing. It would be amazing if it could carry on through the whole of February and this lockdown. It would be wonderful.
And what has the response been so far to you announcing this campaign?
It's been great. I've only just put it on social media, and I've spoken to a couple of people that I know well, or Mrs. Robinson at Sheet School, which is where my two went to ask for her support to help spread the word. I think that's just the biggest thing, really. You just need to spread the word, and I can't believe that people wouldn't want to just do it, you know, just spread the sunshine around us all.
Have you seen any sunshines appearing then yet in windows around the area?
Do you know, I've not had a chance to get out and about. I got a few of the sunshine posters printed and just dropped them to a few friends, a couple of people that live right next to a park, and someone on Station Road, so that's quite a busy road, to just get it out there. But it's not that you want to see that poster everywhere, you just want to see loads of different sunshines. But as I've discovered, a highlighter pen works better. It's much brighter, because doing a sunshine on white paper, it doesn't really stand out that much. But it'd just be great to see loads of kids and adults, really, doing loads of sunshine. So I really, really hope that it takes off. It was my sister's motto to give a little sunshine. And so to spread a bit of her sunshine would be amazing. She would have loved that.
Thanks, Rosie. Let's get painting Petersfield and start spreading some much-needed sunshine.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
And that's it for this week's Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks also to our guests, Meg Allen, Sasha Fairweather, Jan Wellsman, Rosie Peckenboyns, Laura Shepherd, Susie Wild and John Walker. And of course, to the amazing team at Shine Radio.
This week, Orton-based Simpleton Tunesmith end the show with their song, Just a Question. The band was recently featured on Mandy P's Local Music Showcase, and you can find out more about them on all the usual social media platforms.
Next week, we'll bring you a special Valentine's Peapod.
Ah, so from Claire and I this week,
bye! Bye. I think I will refuse to act.
We need to have a plan.
Stay at home and make it shine.
You've got it.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
It's about staying as local as we can and helping as many people in the community as we can.
Joff continues his bromance with John Walker from the Petersfield Post.
You do look lovely.
Thank you very much,
you're the only person I see every week.
Motivation is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hello, my name is Matthew. I'm from Class 1G at Church's College, and this is a song I spent hours listening to in lockdown.
I was walking past College Street and saw the phone box. So I had an idea that I'd start a little bookshop. It's really just come in and help yourself.
We've got lovely Lucy with us and Harrison, who's playing with some knobs.
The real pleasure is in the bass. Bassline! Stupendously crunchy.
I'm feeling quite patient about the whole thing.
Stay at home and make it shine.
Slightly intimidated by being told so precisely what to do.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.